Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Maximize Your Influence, How to Make Digital Media Work for Your Church, Your Ministry, and You by Phil Cook. Narrated by Phil Cook. Acknowledgements. Writing this book has only been possible because of a great core team at our production and consulting company, Cook Media Group. While I was hunkered down in writing mode, Dan Wathen was managing a long slate of media projects around the world. Don Nicole Baldwin was developing and executing amazing client strategies. Chris Guerra was keeping our online presence humming. And Victoria Hansen was hosting Zoom calls, juggling communication, and managing travel schedules for the team. Aside from her regular writing and producing responsibilities, Laura Woodworth stepped in and edited this manuscript and was quick to tell me what worked and what didn't. I've often said that I'm not a writer, I'm a rewriter. Novelist John Irving said it better. Half my life is an act of revision. So thanks, Laura, for making me rethink everything. Most of all, I need to thank my wife, Kathleen, who knew me before I learned much about film, video, or anything else related to media. She co-founded our production and consulting company, and in the process, we've walked this road together, learned it together, and lived it together. And who knew? It would all begin in college when she accepted a date over the phone with a guy she thought was somebody else. It was the start of the greatest adventure of my life. Introduction. Ministry is tough. It's not for the faint of heart. K. Marshall Williams. This book is written for pastors and ministry leaders. I've spent my entire life behind the scenes at churches, ministries, and nonprofits, and know a little about what these men and women face. My father was a pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it would be tough to guess how many communion cups I filled, how many bulletins I've duplicated, remember, mimeograph machines, and how many times I've mowed the church cemetery. In between those jobs, I watched my father spend hours prepping sermons, comforting families at funeral homes, fixing the plumbing, and doing anything else that needed attention. My mom received very little credit, but if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have had a children's program. The church bulletins would have never been written, the ladies never mobilized, church suppers and events never organized, my dad supported, and there would have been no one to take me to track meets or Boy Scouts. For all of its challenges, growing up with that small church congregation probably taught me more about juggling multiple tasks and learning people skills than anything else I've ever done. Since that time, I've spent decades working with pastors and ministry leaders of all kinds, helping them share their message and calling through media. As a result, I've learned even more about how they think and the unique challenges they face living in today's media-driven culture, a distracted, cluttered culture my father never had to deal with in his day. Plus, I know from experience that while Christian universities, Bible colleges, and seminaries generally do an excellent job of training students to preach, counsel, and understand the Bible, they do a pretty poor job of teaching those students how to use social media, websites, short videos, and other digital tools to connect with their community, amplify their message, or promote their church or ministry. That is where I come in. This book isn't a detailed, technical look at social media platforms, websites, YouTube channels, broadcasting, publishing, or other areas. It won't teach you how to build a website or create a social media strategy. It's an overview that will help you speak the language of web designers, video producers, publishers, and marketers. It will teach you about book agents, media buyers, and how to inspire volunteers. It's not for your team as much as it is for you. It will help you understand enough about each discipline and platform to feel comfortable in the digital conversation, so that crazy idea you see in your head can actually be expressed to your team. As a leader, you don't have to understand the complexities of your website's user experience, but you should know a little bit about what it is and why it matters. Even after the COVID-19 church lockdown, I still meet pastors and some elder boards who are terrified of live streaming their services because they believe church attendance will drop, and I'll deal with that fear later. I've met a horrifying number of leaders who have no clue how to maximize the creative team around them. This is your ticket to understanding the digital revolution and making it work for you. This is also a very personal perspective. This is my advice, written as if I was personally coaching you and your church or ministry, which is why it's about concepts, not the details. In other words, whether you lead a congregation of 20 or lead a church of 20,000, this information will help take your ministry to the next level. After all, technology changes, and many of the platforms, apps, and some techniques I mention in the book may be changed or even gone by the time you hear this. Likewise, how people consume media is constantly changing. Your team can keep up with the detailed changes, But as long as you understand the principles and purpose of sharing your story through the media, you can easily weather changes in the tools and platforms. One of the most frustrating things I see out there among churches and ministries is leaders who are afraid to explore these communication platforms because they simply don't understand how they work. And when we don't understand something, we often hesitate because we worry we'll look stupid in front of the congregation or the team. That's a big reason for this book. One of my great purposes in life is to help ministry leaders understand how to communicate in today's digital world well enough to be confident. Insecure leaders rarely take risks, even when those risks could have enormous benefits. And in my opinion, rarely has there been a more important time in history to take risks for the sake of the gospel. In our book, The Way Back, How Christians Blew Our Credibility and How We Get It Back, co-writer Jonathan Bach and I present the case that the reason Christianity is disappearing from our culture isn't because of bad marketing or branding, although we could do better there, but we simply aren't living the life God called us to live. We don't have a marketing problem. We have a sales force problem. Christians today simply don't believe in the product. But I also strongly believe that one of the challenges we face is that we don't communicate the story of the gospel well in today's digital culture. Other belief systems, lifestyles, organizations, movements, and cults are growing because they've mastered communicating in a digital age. But churches lag far behind, and to a great degree, because the leader lags behind. The speed of the boss is the speed of the team. Automotive executive Lee Iacocca. Think about it. As you hear this, according to a national congregation study, there are roughly 384,000 churches in the United States alone, which means that all the other religions, causes, and advocacy groups combined don't even come close to that number. It's like being a part of a global organization with multiple local offices in nearly every town and city in the world. And yet many of those other and much smaller organizations are growing exponentially, while the influence of Christianity continues to shrink. A significant reason most of those other organizations are experiencing explosive growth is they simply have mastered the art of telling their story through media. They are part of a contemporary cultural conversation that has left much of the church behind. But what if the majority of pastors and leaders of our 384,000 churches could learn how to speak that language? What if every church in America had a voice sharing the gospel to their communities via social media, short videos, websites, television, and publishing? What if they understood the demographic changes so well they could immediately adapt their message to a shifting culture? The question is, what if they cared enough about reaching people in their communities that they were willing to learn? And for those who already know the language, were willing to improve? Hopefully, this book will help both groups of leaders. Why me? When I started working in media, a single video camera cost more than $250,000 and was so big that without a sturdy truck and large crew, it was impossible to take on location. At the time, I was a student working part-time on a crew producing prime-time television specials for the most-watched religious TV program in America. In those days, there were only 3 TV channels, and the audience, even for religious programming, was massive. After graduating from college, I went to Hollywood for a year, but I was eventually drawn back to the world of Christian television. As a disclaimer, I must admit that I was getting married and needed a steady job. Since then, I've had forays into major secular advertising and commercial production, film projects, and other media opportunities, but my heart has always been focused on helping Christians engage today's culture more effectively through media. That means that during my career, I've been involved in some level at the growth of every media platform that has been used or is still being used to share the message of the gospel. In those early days, a national media ministry was funded through direct mail. But today we're seeing a significant part of that giving transition online. As video equipment became more affordable, we've seen a shift from major media ministries to local churches catching a vision for using television to reach their communities. In fact, quite a number of churches have actually produced feature motion pictures. The advent of short video and live streaming expanded that trend even more. And social media, let's just say that it should be a vital part of any church or ministry strategy for reaching their community and beyond. With a Ph.D. in theology, mixed with decades spent in media production, I have a unique take on media opportunities available to pastors and other Christian leaders. Over that time, our team at Cook Media Group has worked with many of the largest and most effective churches and ministries around the world. I produced programming or taught media in nearly 100 countries and discovered just how hungry church leaders outside the United States are for this information. While technical details are important, my focus is more on the big picture. What are we doing right, and what are we doing wrong? Why is the Christian influence disappearing as the influence of media grows? What are we missing by not engaging this generation more effectively? What media platforms and strategies are really working? We have more opportunities to share our message with more people than any time in the history of the world. I'll talk a bit later about how an unknown monk named Martin Luther leveraged the new world of publishing to become the most influential writer and preacher of his age. Leaders like Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Fulton Sheen were pioneers in sharing the gospel on primetime television. But today, with digital publishing, a video camera in our pocket, social media, and much more, we have more tools at our fingertips than leaders just a generation ago could have imagined. Keep in mind that there are now film festivals for movies shot on mobile phones. So don't even try telling me all the reasons you can't get your message to a larger audience. You may be leading a small church or ministry and have one person you can trust with communication or media issues. Fine, start there. But as you grow, I would encourage you to put more effort into developing your creative team, because that is the launching pad for growth. We'll talk more about that later, but for now, I can tell you this. In my experience, at most of the high-impact churches and ministries in this country, after the pastor or leader, the communication director or creative director is the most influential voice in the organization. That's because those leaders know that communication and media are the keys to amplifying their message to millions of people beyond their walls. The building program matters. Church education matters. The missions budget matters. But it's time to put communication and media on the priority list. And speaking of missions, one of the greatest gifts a local church can give their missionaries in other countries is helping them with media. My wife Kathleen and I launched a ministry organization called the Influence Lab for the express purpose of teaching and training the global church to use media more effectively. At any given moment, I have multiple requests on my desk from churches, ministry organizations, and leaders outside the United States asking us to come and train their communication and media teams. So yes, this knowledge will help your message transcend the walls of your local church, but it will also take your message to a world in need. In fact, that global need is so great that it's time to stop thinking of missions just in terms of geographic boundaries. We need to start thinking of missions in terms of digital boundaries as well. The power of media is far greater than we can imagine. One thing to note, this is not a normal book designed to be heard straight through. Feel free to skip around and go right to the areas where you need help the most or feel particularly called. If you're already a force to be reckoned with on social media, perhaps you should check out the section on book publishing or how short videos can help tell your story. If fundraising is your weak point, by all means, start there. Many of the sections have been taken from my blog at philcook.com, where I write about the intersection of faith, media, and culture. As a result, it's designed around short sections and thoughts that are quick to listen to and easy to digest. You'll also notice that it's filled with checklists. I'm partial to lists because they're direct and to the point. I've written it that way to help you get right to the heart of the issues, as well as use this material to teach your team more easily. As such, this is a book designed to stay on or near your desk as a reference. It will help you speak the language of creativity, help express your ideas to your communication team if you have one, and help you do it yourself if you don't. Mostly, my goal is to challenge you to keep up. The world has changed and will continue changing, whether we like it or not, and whether we're ready or not. So, let's get going. Chapter 1. Digital Thinking. The digital revolution is far more significant than the invention of writing or even of printing. Douglas Engelbart. In 2020, when the COVID-19 virus caused churches to be temporarily closed and people were sent home, we experienced a dramatic change in the way most pastors and church leaders viewed media. For many, it had been an add-on or something that was nice but not necessary. A surprising number still felt that ministering to people online or through media wasn't real ministry. In fact, Lifeway Research reported that before the crisis, 41% of churches had never offered any worship services or other resources online at all. But within a week, things dramatically changed. Most of this book was written before the crisis, but as it was about to be published, the pandemic hit, and I needed to update the manuscript. Since that time, I've added more information so that it will be relevant far into the future. My hope is that for all pastors who understand the power of media, this will be an important reference. It's no secret that reaching a congregation, community, or media audience in today's distracted and disrupted world is a real challenge. Although we have more channels for reaching them than ever before, those very channels slice up the audience, making it more difficult than ever to actually connect. As a result, when leaders engage our team at Cook Media Group to help share their story, we walk them through a process we customize with every leader to clarify and focus their message, find the right audience, then explore the tools to maximize the sharing of that message. Without giving away our secret sauce, here's a handful of the issues we explore with our clients and why this book is so important. As you listen to them, consider how they could impact your own message or story. It all starts with strategy, which is the art of discovering what sets you apart and who would care most about your message, cause, or story. Today, it takes more than someone with a video camera, a social media director, or a graphic designer to communicate your message. Before any of those team members start working, it's critical to find the answer to why, and that's a leader's job. It's been said that any soldier can take the hill, but a leader knows which hill to take and why it needs to be taken in the first place. Far too many churches allow the big picture decision-making to be made by other members of the staff. In a large church or ministry with an experienced high-level communication or media team, that can be a good thing. But with less experienced members, it could be a disaster. And in either case, it should never happen without the input and insight from the pastor or ministry leader. The big picture matters. Our creative team helps churches, ministries, and nonprofit organizations create websites, launch social media campaigns, produce media programming like documentaries and TV shows, and create amazing videos. At any given time, we're working with various clients on the kind of media projects that inspire and motivate their audience, congregation, or donors. And over the years, we've learned a key principle that helps our clients again and again: be focused on the big picture. Whatever you do in media, build a website, produce a video, launch a marketing campaign, publish a book, or whatever, understand that each of those elements are part of a much bigger story and strategy. In today's distracted world, where people are being overwhelmed with communication and media messages, anything you create has to be part of a bigger, multi-platform strategy to maximize those opportunities. Talented video, social media, and communication teams with brilliant ideas are a great start. But until they understand the bigger strategy of how to reach your audience, they'll never make an impact. It's been said that if you want to know which road to take, it helps to know first where you're going. Think before you produce. Ask the why before you explore the how. Then, once we define your why, we bring that to life with messaging, clarifying exactly what your message or story should be at that moment. Oddly enough, most of our clients try to communicate too much, largely because they're thinking of themselves and not the audience they want to reach. In a cluttered world, simplicity and clarity are what gets people's attention. Certainly, many organizations and visionary leaders have much to share, but in today's hyper-competitive world, most people respond to too much information by shutting down and just turning it off. So it's essential that we streamline the message and focus on what matters from the audience's perspective. Speaking of clutter, identity development is a key step in our process since perception is so important in a distracted world. We'll discuss branding and positioning in a later section, but it's important to know how sensitive perceptions are in a distracted world. Positioning is essential to help your message rise above the noise because it focuses on what your audience thinks, what they need, and how you fit into their lives. This goes beyond your brand and is often overlooked by many organizations. Finally, deciding how to share your ministry or organization's message is vital. Via social media, short video production, broadcast radio or TV, movie, live events, blogging, podcasting, live streaming, and more. It's not how you want to reach them. It's how they want to reach you. There's no point in creating the best podcast ever produced if your audience is somewhere else. That's why finding the right platforms are so important for connecting with your audience. These steps aren't designed to overwhelm you or make you think that engaging media is too complex or difficult. My purpose is to remind you that a high school kid with a video camera isn't enough. A talented graphic designer isn't enough. Even a well-intentioned communication director isn't enough if you haven't spent time thinking about the bigger picture. These days, a great number of leaders and teams recognize the power of media, but don't understand the best way to leverage that power. There was a time when sharing a message meant standing on a soapbox and talking to people passing by, preaching in a pulpit, or printing a book or newspaper. But today, with almost an endless number of media options, making the right decision about the what, when, where, how, and why of your message can be the difference between success and failure. The stakes are high, and your message matters. Choose carefully. Everything communicates. Another issue leaders, speakers, and communicators often fail to understand is that in today's digital world, everything communicates. That means it's not just the message you share, but it's the clothes you're wearing, your attitude, the way you stand, the lighting in the room, the social media platform you use, and many more things that impact how people receive that message. Whether you wear a coat and tie or skinny jeans impacts how people receive your message. It's the same whether you present alone or with a PowerPoint presentation. I could name multiple factors that can impact your message in a meeting, from the pulpit, in a video, or online, but you get the idea. Studies have shown that because we're so distracted and pulled in so many different directions, that when we meet someone for the first time, we decide what we think of that person within the first 8 seconds. Think about that for a minute. You haven't really heard what they have to say, and you don't really know them very well at all, but in today's hyper-competitive, distracted, digital world, we've changed our behavior so that we're making decisions about things we don't even yet understand. Which is the reason I tell pastors that I'm thrilled that your sermon is anointed and your worship is powerful. But in an 8-second world, what's the parking experience like? What's the church lobby look like? Who's the first person a new visitor meets when they walk in the door? Today, new visitors are making decisions about your church long before they actually reach the pew. In the same way, I've also discovered that virtually 100% of potential new visitors will check out the church online before they visit. So why are many church websites so lame? Even when you're not communicating, that communicates a message. Whether you're preaching a sermon, developing a business proposal, speaking at a conference, hosting a video, recording a podcast, or talking to your best friend, there's a wealth of information that gets communicated beyond the essential message. Communication is a two-way conversation. That's why generation after generation, pastors and Christian leaders get it wrong. They believe our only responsibility is sharing the message, but we also have a responsibility to do our best to make sure that message is received. To be honest, this new two-way conversation is remarkably similar to the method of worship during the days of the early church. Frank Viola and George Barna, writing in their book Pagan Christianity, Exploring the Roots of Our Church Practices, revealed some of the most common practices of worship during the early church, including active participation and interruptions by the audience were common. Prophets and priests spoke extemporaneously and out of a present burden rather than from a set script. There is no indication that Old Testament prophets or priests gave regular speeches to God's people. Instead, the nature of Old Testament preaching was sporadic, fluid, and open for audience participation. Preaching in the ancient synagogue followed a similar pattern. Wayne E. Oates, writing in Pastoral Counseling, put it this way. The original proclamation of the Christian message was a two-way conversation. But when the oratorical schools of the Western world laid hold of the Christian message, they made Christian preaching something vastly different. Oratory tended to take the place of conversation. The greatness of the orator took the place of the astounding event of Jesus Christ, and the dialogue between speaker and listener faded into a monologue. That's not to say that preaching or proclaiming the gospel isn't important, but it does indicate that today's technology is actually giving us the capability to recover many of the styles and ideals of the early church. The two-way conversation that began in Jerusalem became a one-way conversation with the influence of the Greco-Roman culture. But now in the digital age, we are once again discovering the power of dialogue over monologue. In the open world of the future, those who simply preach or teach without regard to the way the audience understands and responds may simply be ignored. The prophetic versus the practical. Should we communicate what people want or what they need? The debate about preaching a message of what people want versus what they need isn't new. It's been debated for generations, but the issue takes on an entirely new dimension now as mass media can distribute that message to so many more people. Particularly in the digital age, wrong or destructive teaching can have enormous consequences. As a media consultant challenged with getting a message heard by the most people, I want to make that message easy to understand and easy to like. On the other hand, as a Christian sharing a prophetic message, I need to deliver a message that may cause some pain and may not be easily accepted. Note that I use the word prophetic not in the sense of a direct message from God, but in the sense of truth-telling or delivering an often difficult message based on the eternal principles from Scripture. As believers in Jesus Christ, our task is sharing a message that is often difficult to receive. And yet, when you look at many of the top churches and religious organizations today, the messages are easy to take, inspirational, and often shallow. That's not to say a significant message of the church shouldn't be hope, particularly in the nihilistic culture of death we live in today. But I'm reminded of Dorothy Sayers, who lived from 1893 to 1957, one of the famous Inklings, the group of writers at Oxford that included C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. In her book, Letters to the Diminished Church, she writes, "First, I believe it a grave mistake to present Christianity as something charming with no offense to it. Seeing that Christ went about the world giving the most violent offense to all kinds of people, it would seem absurd to expect that the doctrine of his person can be so presented as to offend nobody. We cannot blink at the fact that gentle Jesus, meek and mild, was so stiff in his opinions and so inflammatory in his language that he was thrown out of church, stoned, hunted from place to place, and finally gibbeted as a firebrand in a public danger. In our present-day efforts to gain an audience or write a best-selling book, I wonder if we've taken some of the distinctives out of our faith. Granted, most of the people Jesus offended were the religious folks. When Jesus was confronted by sinners or the suffering, he was far more tender and gracious. He saved his most fiery volleys for the hypocritical types within the religious community. Also understand that when I talk about offending, I don't mean for stupid reasons. Focusing on money, Jesus' junk product offers, cheesy or out-of-date approaches and gimmicks, or humiliating an opponent, no one has the right to be stupid in their presentation of the Christian faith. What I'm talking about here is presenting the honest reality of the Christian faith. But today we hear pastors try everything in their arsenal to defend a point of doctrine without actually using the scriptures. We think the audience will relate to it better when it may actually be positioning the Christian faith as just another lifestyle choice and not the raging fire that transformed the Western world. Are we preaching a message based on the Bible's intentions or the audience's aspirations? Presenting the Christian faith in the media or anywhere else for that matter is a revolutionary act. In the 21st century, we've lulled ourselves into thinking we have to play nice to get the audience's attention when the exact opposite is true. In my book, The Last TV Evangelist, I take on this subject directly and at length. Successful media programming in the secular world revolves around conflict, so why are we so afraid to speak hard truths in the church? Welcome to the Christian attack culture. Before we leave this opening section, I would mention that there's no question that the internet has brought Christianity many wonderful things. Today, we have online education available to virtually anyone, social media that encourages people to support great causes, and online communication tools that allow us to connect from the four corners of the earth. But it's also created something I believe is tearing at the very fabric of our faith. It's created a culture of attack. Rarely does a day go by that Christian news sites, social media streams, and other web platforms feature some Christian correcting another Christian and calling them out by name. They can range from arguments over worship music to theological squabbles to disagreements over ministry styles, to charges of outright heresy, and the barrage of criticism has grown exponentially. While there are qualified theologians, pastors, and other leaders we should respect and listen to, there's also a tsunami of armchair theologians, angry ex-church members, and wannabes who are convinced their criticism du jour needs to be shared. Aside from feeling comfortable correcting a brother or sister publicly when we've never met the person or know little about the background of what we're criticizing, a significant culprit is technology itself. With 24/7 news and a constant barrage of blogs and social media, the internet is bombarding us with information overload, and what may be worse, the ease of responding. As soon as we read something we don't like, all it takes is a click to send an angry reply, post a heated comment, or write an op-ed piece. I'm as guilty as anyone, and it's taken me a long time to learn to not react immediately just because I can. The internet has given us the illusion of intimacy. We read someone's books, articles, and sermons, or watch their videos online, and we feel we know them, so why not share what we think is wrong? But that illusion of intimacy is just that, an illusion. It distracts us from the important principle of reaching out to them personally first and making the often difficult effort of keeping it private and saving the relationship. But then again, it's just so easy to rip them online in front of everyone and be done with it. The internet is a powerful tool. And if we use it wisely, it can have a dramatic impact on helping us inspire and motivate this generation of believers to share the message of the cross with this culture. But the choice is ours. We can use it to build up or use it to tear down. Writer Jason Moorhead put it this way: the same questions should be considered.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?